Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
Hi. This is Dr. Elisa Kriegel. Welcome to Let's Talk About Sex, Really. I am your host, and today we are going to be talking about solo sex and partnered sex with toys. Oh my. Yeah. Today we're going to focus on toys. And I thought this would be a great continuation following up on the last podcast I did, episode 8, which was reconnecting to your sexual self, exploring your sexual self, in more sexual ways through masturbation, getting to know your body. And I think that sex toys that aid in masturbation, aid in exploration, both for women, for men, and also as couples, is just a great way of getting to know yourself better and also getting to know your partner better and just getting to explore pleasure, both on your own and with a partner. So there are a lot of great toys out there, and boy, have things changed. So the toy market is exploding, no pun intended. Anyway, there are lots of toys that are specifically meant to be used for women, men, or couples, but I think really a lot of the toy companies are becoming much more inclusive, and so there are no limits. You can really just explore and discover what feels good for you, and I want to emphasize that, and also emphasize consent when working with someone else. So if you're already someone who has one toy, a couple of toys in your repertoire, you know how much fun you can have. And so please listen, because this might be an opportunity for you to upgrade or try something totally new. If you're new to sex toys and maybe have some doubts or questions, I want to answer a few things up front that might be helpful. So the first one is, how do you know which toy? And I think, you know, sex shops can be a great place to get some advice, see a wide array of products. And even sex shops are not what we think of. You know, when I was growing up and coming into New York City via 42nd Street and Port Authority, there was a lot of really just sleazy, you know, triple X movie theaters and sex shops. And I remember sort of walking through almost like closing my eyes. I was a, you know, young girl. And even now, I mean, you still see some sleazy shops. And if that's what you're into, go for it. No judgment. But there are so many other options. And there's so many really great, you know, I think Babeland was one of the earlier ones I remember in San Francisco, Eve's Garden. There's a lot of just newer shops all throughout the country. If you're uncomfortable with even going into a sex shop, I mean, try it. It's, you know, people working there are very open, really great at answering questions. So definitely give it a try. Go with a friend. Go with a partner if that makes you feel more comfortable. Go alone in sunglasses. There's nothing to be ashamed of. So again, you know, part of this is getting over that idea that there's something wrong with this. There is not. This is supernatural. You know, I mean, what I'm seeing as I'm looking for information is that this is everywhere. So like if you're uncomfortable going into shops and are more comfortable buying online, so many shops, so many magazines, Women's Health and Men's Health, I always recommend, they're fantastic. But even, you know, Oprah and GQ, Vogue, Teen Vogue, I was looking, has some great information, especially for you know, because it's aimed at teens and young adults, especially on how to buy your first vibrator, how to use it, you know, what you should look for, what you should know, and just really encouraging and being so supportive of like taking this step to explore yourself. So, you know, Teen Vogue's been on the cutting edge of a lot of political issues. So it's really awesome to see a magazine like that promoting healthy, positive sexuality for young women. Even New York Magazine had tons of articles. And all can be found online for free. So there's no reason not to look. And I understand the hesitation. I remember the very first vibrator I bought, I think was through like an online drugstore. It somehow felt like less risque, I guess, to be purchasing it along with like my face cream and aspirin than, you know, to be going to a sex shop or site online. I've upgraded, obviously, since then, and I still look, and I think it's a great process, even just looking and seeing what's out there. Some now are like even quite artistic. So definitely worth, you know, I think I've recommended before reading reviews. Just take a look. Some of these magazine, online magazine articles will show pictures and have links, and it's a great resource. I can't cover every vibrator or sex toy that's on the market. My absolute favorite place to recommend, and this is if you're in New York City or if you're coming into New York for a visit, the Museum of Sex has a fantastic gift shop. Like most museums, I love museum gift shops. The MoMA, the Met have great gift shops, but obviously the Museum of Sex is like just a step above that because the entire entrance, like lobby of the gift shop, is basically like vibrators on display. All types of sex toys, anything you might want to play with. If you're intimidated at all going into a specific sex shop, maybe like that this is a museum. I've recommended it to couples as a date. Go see an exhibit or skip the exhibits and just go straight to the gift shop. Really fun way to explore. The next piece just of general information is safety. And with so many toys out there at so many different price points, it is important to think about the material being used. And because some of them are like plastic or fleshy kind of materials, there can be a lot of chemicals and the chemicals can leach into the skin. They can cause rash or itching. So it's definitely something to look closer at if that is a concern you've had. What's good to know is many of the newer companies or larger stores are very careful to only sell toys and products that are sort of the highest safety standard. But if it's a concern, it's definitely worth it to look up the different chemicals that are out there and might be in your particular toy. And it may just be time for an upgrade. So it's a good excuse to get some new toys. The other question I get a lot, once you're ready to buy, especially online, is how is it sent? Are people going to know what I'm buying? And no, they won't. All of these companies use very discreet packaging. So it doesn't say in large letters, you know, sex toy or in any way indicate. So your neighbors, the UPS guy, your partner will not know what you're buying unless you want to share it with them, which, you know, I encourage. So the final thing I want to talk about is not actually the buying of sex toys, but some myths or concerns that I have heard people bring up that may cause hesitation or even just things you have worry about if you start getting into playing with toys more. And the two big ones I hear about is this idea of nerve damage, that if you are playing with a toy that is electric, vibrations, especially a lot of the vibrators can vibrate at very intense levels, can you cause nerve damage to your clitoris, to, you know, your penis, to your anus? Like, can there be nerve damage? And all the experts have looked at this, and it truly is just a myth. You are not going to damage anything. I think similarly, some people worry if having sort of the increased stimulation that a toy can bring will then make you sort of numb or have a harder time with partnered sex or, you know, partnered stimulation. And again, that's not the case. Our bodies are our bodies. Now, what can happen, and I think this is some of, you know, when people worry about, can I get addicted to my sex toy? Is my partner going to want the sex toy and not me? And we'll get into some of that more, especially as we talk about couples. But I think, you know, if we look back at my talk about the dual control model of pleasure and how our brain can be very affected by worries or anxieties, you know, there is definitely a comfort when using a toy by yourself that kind of eases the anxiety, eases any shame, any concern about what someone else is thinking about you. And so you are possibly able to let go more and just enjoy the experience as opposed to sort of constantly thinking about how you look or what someone else is thinking. So there's definitely that sort of performance anxiety piece that can come in. And I think it's part of the reason why for some people they can orgasm during masturbation, but not with a partner. So again, the hope is that using the toys helps you know yourself better and also helps share that knowledge with a partner and to make partnered sex more pleasurable. I hope that answers some initial questions. I will talk more, so stay tuned or take a listen to my podcasts regarding sex toys for women. I'm going to do one specifically for men and also for couples. So let's talk about sex toys for women. And just to start things off, I want to be clear that you can experiment whatever part you have. You can experiment with things, but these toys that I will talk about are primarily marketed and focused on women, people with vulvas. So I'm just going to say that. There's a few different kinds of sex toys, but the main category that I'm going to focus on today is vibrators. I think that's sort of, it's the largest category. It's where you're seeing so many new ideas, new models coming out. There's a lot of companies that are female owned, female creators. There's ones that aren't, but if that's something you want to support as a woman, there are a lot of companies that are very much, by women for women. So, I think the big question a lot of people have is, you know, what kind should I get? Like, what should I be looking for? I'm going to talk about the different types of vibrators and what you can find and what they do in general. And then you can kind of think about what type of touch you like, what type of pleasure. And if you're not sure, then I would say definitely, you know, try one or two and just experiment and see what you like. That's what this is all about, is experimenting and knowing yourself and, you know, keeping learning more about yourself as you go. So the first main type of vibrator would be for external stimulation or clitoral stimulation. And there's a couple of different types of clitoral stimulation. So there's ones that you will find that are more focused. The head of the vibrator is usually like smaller, and so it's going to have a more focused sensation. They sometimes have a smaller tip on the vibrator, sometimes as small as something like a bullet vibrator. Play with vibrators and play with the sensations and how it feels anywhere on your body. Some people enjoy nipple play with vibrators. Again, you're getting a more intense sensation than just touch alone. And for many women, clitoral orgasms are sort of the go-to. And so if you're new to vibrators, this is a great one to start with. Another type of vibrator for external stimulation provides a broader stimulation, something like the wand vibrator. And the wand vibrator, the most well-known, I think, and the kind of apparently, as the story goes, original vibrator of sorts is the Hitachi wand, which Betty Dodson, who was a big proponent of masturbation and just knowing your body, apparently had the Hitachi wand was actually a muscle massager. And she discovered that it worked really well for orgasms, for clitoral orgasms. And at some point it got remade. I don't know if that's true, but that is the story as it goes. So there are lots of different types of wands, and you'll recognize the wand because there's just sort of a broader head, almost like a little ball. And so you get a broader sensation with that, and you can try it different places. Some people say it's a deeper sensation, but everyone's body's different. So again, you have to try that out. The newer type of clitoral stimulation surrounds the clitoris and has air suction. So it's not sort of direct on the clitoris, but it is a suction. And so you're getting a very different kind of sensation. A lot of women talk about it being like a very intense stimulation. Many women can orgasm very quickly using the air suction. And so there's many different vibrators out there that you will see with one of those words. I think the big one that sort of made its name for this technology at first was the Womanizer. And there has since been lots of different companies that copy the same type. Company called the Satisfier makes a similar one, although I think it's a better name. I really don't like the name, the Womanizer, but lots of companies. Laura DiCarlo is a big one. She has one, I think, called Bocce, which does that. And if you're interested in air stimulators, look up articles, because I've found articles that basically break down every different air stimulator out there based on clitoral size and how big you want the opening to be or how small. So you literally can find something for everybody out there. So take a look if that's something that interests you. I do recommend, as has been recommended in many reviews, to put down a towel underneath, because the other thing about air suction stimulators is people find that they can squirt, which is sort of the term. Not that there's anything better or worse if you can squirt or not, but sometimes there will be more discharge that comes out either before or during an orgasm. So do not be surprised. You've been warned. And again, enjoy. See if that's not something you've ever done, then that's a sensation you can play with using the suction stimulators. Now, something to think about with the vibrators that have clitoral external stimulation is that most vibrators now do come with different intensity settings and also different patterns. There might be like tapping, swirling, quick, drawn out. So like just different sensations. But do know that with some of the, you know, this is where I think reading reviews and checking it out before you buy it. Now, one of the things to know is it can be very intense stimulation. So if you're someone who is very sensitive to your clitoris being touched or sucked or played with in any way, then that's something to be cautious with the clitoral stimulators. So you may want to go really slow, find a vibrator, a clitoral stimulation vibrator that has a very low setting to play with that, or just forego the clitoral stimulation altogether and, you know, look at the next type of vibrator we're going to be talking about. If you prefer more internal stimulation, more like penetrative intercourse, so something inside, and those vibrators can also give you different sensations internally. Some are even made to focus more on G-spot stimulation, which is sort of the internal part of the clitoris. So some might even be angled or have a certain structure that helps you really connect and really touch that G-spot stimulation. Now, the final type of vibrator is, I think, somewhat a little more advanced. So if you're new to this, maybe this isn't what you want. But if you've been playing with toys for a while and haven't tried this, then there are vibrators that can stimulate both the G-spot, have both internal and clitoral stimulation. So the most classic one of this that's been around for a long time would be the Rabbit. And if you haven't seen the Rabbit, it kind of does look a little bit like it has these like little floppy ears, which would be the clitoral stimulator, and the other part goes internally. Honestly, I've not used them. I'm still a little bit intimidated, and I think it's partly because, like I've talked about, fit, and I'm on the smaller side, so it seems like a lot happening. I am curious. I will try it at some point. I will report back. But in the meantime, I do know people who love it. And there are sort of some even newer, sleeker versions. One that got a lot of fame is the Laura DiCarlo, women-owned brand of vibrator, has one called the Osei, which I believe it was like in 2018 or 2019, won an award at one of these big tech conferences, only to have the award revoked like several weeks later because the conference said that it was immoral and obscene. And what sort of came out of that was the founder of Laura DiCarlo wrote a letter and got a lot of publicity because she was really calling out the double standard. They had had sex dolls and virtual reality sex toys for men in this conference without any issue. And then they re-awarded her with this award. She probably got a lot more publicity than she ever would have gotten and got more investors. And so it's now like a really big company for vibrators. Some of these new vibrator companies and some of these higher end, you know, use top-notch materials, design. Like I believe with the Osei, there's all sorts of flexibility so you can move it to have really perfect fit on your body. Now, one thing that's important for you to know with these newer models is that the price tag on them can be in the mid to high 100s to $250, $280. If you know that that's something you really enjoy, then I think it's worth the investment. If you've never used a toy like that before, I would definitely recommend starting on a simpler or maybe less expensive model, because as you can imagine, sex toys cannot be returned. So something to think about. For the tech geeks out there, there's a great vibrator made by this company called Lioness that basically measures your orgasm through an app. So if that's something that sounds like a fun exploration or just interesting to see different ways of getting stimulated and what your orgasm is, or even maybe experimenting with a partner, the Lioness has that ability to measure your orgasms and save them and look at the charts of what happens and all of that. The other vibrator that I think is really interesting is a company called Taboo. The website is Hey Taboo, T-A-B-U. And they are focused on women's wellness, especially geared towards women in menopause. But the idea of the company founder is this sort of, I think her mom had a conversation with her where she said, use it or lose it. And she realized and started researching that a lot of women who are in menopause have not been as sexual, and there are changes in the body that can cause drying and even something called vaginal atrophy, which I will get into in another episode in which we talk about menopause and perimenopause. But Taboo, the idea of Taboo is that the same way you take care of your skin with face masks or your hair, that this is a very slender, very comfortable, essentially vibrator, but it's for insertion. And there's also a special lube that comes with it that also has moisturizing properties. And the idea is that you just sort of use this at least once a week to just keep things lubricated and comfortable. It has various settings, not as intense as some vibrators. It also has a warming feature for comfort. So again, if you're someone starting out or someone who's gone a long time without sex and you're worried or concerned, Taboo might be a really great product, not very intimidating, and also just to get into more of a ritual of self-care in this way that's more sexual. So I think that's great. The other ones that are really fun just to put out there is there are some that are really all about the artistry and really artistic looking. And there's many that are made to not even look like sex toys. So if you are someone who worries about small kids or people going through your stuff or absentmindedly leaving your vibrator out somewhere, no one would probably know it's a vibrator. So there's several that look like that. The one that I came across that was, I thought, really funny, cute, is one that is a combination sex toy and nightlight. It is by Osuga, and it is actually called Cuddly Bird, which, okay, there's all sorts, like, right, not everything is over-sexualized, which I think is also awesome, you know? Not all the products are, like, all, you know, leopard print and bright red. The Osuga Cuddly Bird is basically a clitoral sucker. So it's one of those that fits around the clitoris and has a sucking action, but it actually looks kind of like a tiny little bird. And when you charge it, it lights up with a little light around it, and you can keep it on your bedside table and look, it looks like a little nightlight. So it can kind of remind you that this is something you can be using regularly in such a cute way. So there you go for women. I hope that, you know, that's a lot of information. And I hope that's helpful. I am going to be coming back in part two of this podcast to talk about sex toys for men, as well as sex toys for couples. So please stay tuned for that.